Hello there, I'm Michael D. Rubin with Sell Your Company for Maximum Value, episode number 6. We've got our guest in the studio, one of my best friends, a guy that works with me side by side each and every day, Todd Hutchinson, our VP of Exit Strategy. Welcome to the show.
Happy to be here.
Yeah. Last week we covered chapter 7, 10-step unique process, and chapter 8, the art of finding the perfect buyer, Todd. Today, we're halfway through the 10-step unique process with our next step, and that's we're going to go over today Chapter 9, Where the Magic Happens, and Chapter 10, Negotiating the Letter of Intent. So, Todd, you've been at the firm now about a year.
Absolutely.
You've seen many, many buyer-seller meetings where the magic happens, right?
That's correct.
And just to recount what's happened up to this point in our 10-step unique process, we've engaged with the client. They've come in for a discovery meeting, right? We've designed a perfect exit strategy. We've signed the listing or engagement letter. We started to accumulate financial information with our CFO, Jenny Swain. She's putting together the marketing package. Tom Lociato's putting together the HD video, right? 3 to 4 minutes describing the business, drone footage. The principal goes on camera and starts talking about the value drivers in the business. And so we're doing our sell side due diligence. Then ultimately we listed on a lot of different websites. We also pull a strategic list of similar companies that are perfect targets for our company. And while we're working the strategic list, we also listed on all the websites. At that point, we are qualifying buyers. We talked a little bit of that over the last few weeks, and we want to find buyers that are ready, willing, and able, most importantly, to close the transaction, because we don't feel we've done our job unless that transaction closes. I talk to so many M&A firms. They work on so many deals. We like to say at MDR & Associates, we don't want to work on deals. We like to complete them. So this is a step where we have a little magic hat on our website. If you go to our website at mdrma.com or sellmycompanynow.com and you go to the our 10-step unique process, there's a little magic hat. Tell us why you think it's a magical step in the process and how God can literally either breathe on it and the magic happens or it doesn't.
Yeah, up to this point, you know, like we talked about in chapter 8, finding the perfect buyer, we've already pre-qualified probably 3 to 6 buyers that we feel are the absolute best buyers to meet with the sellers, that they're ready, willing, and able to buy. And now what we do, which is unique, is we have a physical meeting with the buyer and the seller in the boardroom.
At our corporate office in Frisco.
At our corporate office, where they can look at each other in the eye and ask the questions they want. And we're looking for that chemistry to happen.
Like, that's a great point. It's chemistry.
Yeah, with a boy or a girl. We're actually looking for that buyer-seller chemistry to happen while they talk to each other in the boardroom. And you and I kind of sit back and let the magic happen and see how they relate to each other and to make sure it's that perfect fit.
Quick point on that. With our sellers, it's a lot like representing an athlete. So we're going to call our business owner in 15, 30 minutes before and coach them on a couple things, right? We're going to coach them generally don't answer questions that aren't being asked. So if you have a question that's asked directly, answer that question. Just don't answer 4 others that weren't asked. And the second idea is, no contractual talks. That's up to us, right? That's why they've hired us exclusively. That's why we represent them. So we coach that business owner a little bit up, and they're nervous. They're saying things like, what kind of questions are going to be asked? Who's this buyer? What's their background? And so you're right. When we get in there, we introduce our seller to the buyer. They sit down. We're normally at the head of the table. We're going to do the introductions, and we're going to be quiet. The magic can't happen if we're talking over them getting to know each other, the history of the company, why the buyer inquired. That's a great question to ask right off the bat. Why did you inquire on this offering of my company? Why are you interested in it? What other questions have you heard as you've seen the magic happening in the boardroom and the right buyer? We're going to talk about a couple scenarios where the right buyer was there. But from your experience, what other kind of questions have you heard? What other dialogue goes on?
Definitely the stories. I think it's important for each buyer and seller to kind of tell their story, both the seller who tells how his business came about and how it started and how it's grown over the years. And then I think for the seller, it's important for the buyer to kind of give them a background of how many businesses have they bought? What's their education? What kind of background do they have? So they get kind of comfortable with each other and understanding that they do have a similar background and feel comfortable that they can come together. It reminds me a lot of when we sold Nova Magnetics.
Last year, Nova Magnetics, $5 million and $7 million transaction. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. It's in Garland, Texas.
And you found a perfect buyer in Daryl Mayo who had 16 other companies that were very similar to the one that we are listing, even to the fact that one of his company was called Nova as well.
That was wild. Nova Microwave. Yes. That was a God thing. All of a sudden, I'm in Vail, which I'm going this week. It's spring break. I'm taking the whole family to Vail, Beaver Creek again. I'm in Beaver Creek with my family playing Monopoly, and this guy inquires, you're off, but you're not off kind of thing. I step away from the game, and I look this gentleman up, Daryl Mayo, and he owns 16 electric component companies, electrical component companies, and he's inquiring on number 17. He's been buying companies for 40 years. Dad did it. He came in, and over 40 years, he's bought 16 like companies like Nova Magnetics. That was just a total. When I say God breathes on this, once we do our due diligence, we package it correctly. We're on the websites. Our discernment is at a high level. When Daryl inquired, I tell you, it's a weird point in these deals where you know you have the right buyer.
Absolutely.
What was weird is he wouldn't call me back.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit of like a dog on a bone, you know, and sales ability is the only ability I have. So I kept calling him. When he did call me back, describe what happened when he flew all the way in from Florida, walked into the boardroom. Normally we do these meetings in our corporate office, but this particular buyer-seller meeting, he asked to take a tour of the facility. Why? That's very unusual. We usually wait for that after the LOI, but we allowed it to happen. He came in under the guise of another scenario to protect confidentiality. He came in, he sat down with our client, Chris Davis, in the facility, and wasn't it magical how, take it from there and tell us what happened when Daryl Mayo flew in from Florida to make an offer on Nova Magnetics.
It was fantastic because I think immediately, right away, they connected just on a personal level, and we did a tour of the entire facility. It took, I think, over an hour just to walk the facilities. I think the point that I love the most is when we stopped and talked to an employee that was there for like 40 years, and he told Daryl this story of the brother had passed and how close they were. It was a real magical moment. I think for Daryl, it really just, you could see in him, he was like, wow, these are phenomenal employees.
That's right. So a longstanding employee, a manager level employee, been there over 30 years, was reminiscing how Chris's brother had passed with COVID, because due to COVID a year earlier, that's why they were selling the company in the first place.
Yeah,
one of the brothers had to fly in that hadn't operated the company. He'd been getting obviously passive checks over the years and been blessed financially, but he really didn't know the ins and outs of the company, Chris. And this employee was reminiscing upon his brother, how special he was in his heart. And it was crazy because Daryl had tears in his eyes.
Yes.
I had tears in my eyes.
I had tears in my eyes.
And
it was
that's
great.
Magic,
it was
right?
A great moment.
That's
great
magic.
Moment. Yeah. You knew right then that there was something special happening.
And okay, so let's talk about the opposite, because we can go into all these magic. We've had 225 incredible magical stories, but there's times where we miss something. We ask the question. I'd like to make a point real quick that MDR Associates ask questions that very few M&A advisors ask. How much liquid cash are you comfortable putting in the transaction? We ask a buyer on our first phone call. Do you mind me asking what your credit score is? Do you have a bank? If you're selected, how would you finance this transaction? So there's a lot of different things that I think we do that other M&A advisors simply don't do. They skip those steps.
Yeah.
And so I would say we're 95 to 98% successful with buyer-seller meetings, but you know when the magic's not happening.
Absolutely. I can think of one just recently where, like I said, the buyer seemed qualified. He seemed like the right fit. We brought him in. I think this is why we do the physical meeting, so we can see the body language of both parties while it's happening. And I remember this one buyer, he seemed qualified and seemed excited, but I noticed the whole time he wouldn't really look at the sellers.
I remember that buyer seller. We're not going to mention any names of companies.
But he couldn't. He just kept
looking down.
He did not
make eye contact.
So to me, that body language was a negative for me, and I think it was for the sellers as well.
100%. You know, this past week we did our third radio show, Sell Your Company for Maximum mm-hmm. Value on WBAP. Mm-hmm. It's every Sunday from 12 to 1. It's the same format. We go through a chapter a week instead of two chapters a week mm-hmm. on this video podcast. We go through one chapter a week on the radio, and Jenny and I are having a lot of fun keeping it real loose. It's
Absolutely.
Entertaining, and we talk about stories. We talk about the differentiators. We talk about what we need to focus on. This last week, we talked about our 10-step unique process, how it's different than other firms. It simplifies the process. But this particular step of buyer-seller meetings, where the magic happens, we could go on and on about stories. I can think of another. Can you think of another one that we need to maybe talk about other than Nova Magnetics, the electric component distributor, manufacturer?
Yeah, just this year, the Peterson landscaping business, where Matt, who was on our show last week.
Last week, Matt was our guest on the show.
Explained the whole situation, but I remember sitting in that board meeting with Joe and Matt, and they both had this immediate connection, especially with, you know, having long-term employees and wanting to keep that integrity, keep the generational legacy going. Matt was really looking to add and expand onto his business, but he was really looking for business that had been around for a long time, had established employees, established business, and it just felt perfect. Their wives were, from Central America, and so there was so many connections that were there. It was impressive.
It was impressive.
Yeah.
It was really impressive. When Matt and Joe Peterson, our client Joe, yeah. who literally had been building this landscaping company since I was like 8 years old
yes.
here in Dallas, Texas,
yes.
1978. That's a long time.
It's a long time.
And, you know, Matt, we had already decided on the three offers that had come in. We're going to pick one of those. Matt called at the very end of the process.
Very end.
And you have to have discernment, because the first thing he told me is, my name's Matt Ravello. I own a commercial cleaning company. Our largest client is Dart. And we're looking, and all of our municipalities that we serve are asking for landscaping.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, I'll never forget where I was. Just like he said last week, he remembered where he was when I mm-hmm. called him. I remember where I was when I called him. I was sitting down, and as soon as he said, my largest client is Dart, I went, wait a sec. And obviously, he was a man of financial stature that was committed. What I generally look for is that buyer that's going to make it over all the roller coasters
yeah.
and bumps.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of bumps in the processes, you know, in our process
yeah.
and the M&A process in general. There's a lot of bumps, a lot of speed bumps that we need to get over. Sometimes they look like mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And the stronger the buyer is financially, the stronger they are as far as high integrity and character. I could sense that about Matt. I could sense it. And so could Joe.
Absolutely.
And their wives were from Mexico, by the
mm-hmm.
way,
yeah.
Central America, Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And all the employees are Hispanic. Most
yep.
of the employees at Peterson's are Hispanic.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the moment when Joe said, your wife's Hispanic?
Oh, yes. That was almost the moment I kind of knew, oh, this is it.
Yeah, you just got to be sensitive.
You got to be sensitive and listen to what's happening.
You listen, you introduce,
yeah.
you let it happen, and the magic either happens or it doesn't. Well, we're going to take a short break. If you're a business owner in North Texas, you're approaching retirement age, you'd like to visit with the MDR team, we're going to take a break and show you how you can do that.
To book a discovery meeting with Michael and receive a complimentary opinion of value, you can visit us on the web at sellmycompanynow.com. That's sellmycompanynow.com, or call us at 855-637-2020. That's 855-637-2020. Sell your company for maximum value.
Welcome back to Sell Your Company for Maximum Value. Todd, we've been describing the buyer-seller meetings, the magical buyer-seller meetings. It's such a blessing when we see the fireworks in the boardroom, and how when sellers see that the ultimate buyer that's going to carry on that generational legacy for them, when they find the right buyer, they're willing to flex on structure and how that deal's put together. Have you seen the same thing?
Absolutely. I think that's why it's so important to get them together and let that magic and chemistry happen, because then you have a fondness toward this individual. So you have a little bit more leeway into negotiating the LOI and the sale of the company at that point.
I think so, too. I think when they really start gelling, the seller will start flexing on what he will or won't do, what she will or won't do. Okay, we're going to move on. we are almost through this book. We've only got two more episodes, and we're completely through the book in the next, you know, month or so. At the end of May,
April.
April, we'll be done with the book. We're going to move on right now. So after Where the Magic Happens, Chapter 9, Chapter 10, negotiating the letter of intent. Once we have it's important to note that the seller's never out of control, are they? We're always asking them, as soon as the buyer leaves, what do you think?
Absolutely. We always have a meeting right after just to see how they felt, if they had any questions, and just to make sure the temperature's good.
Yep. And if we've done our job right, they're going to lean in at the end of that and say, well, what do you guys think? Mike, what do you think? Todd, what do you think?
Absolutely.
Cool. Once we find that buyer, it's our job to then entice the offer, a letter of intent to purchase. We never do it. We're one of the only firms, and I don't really understand this, that gets refundable earnest money with that letter of intent. I like to say LOIs are somewhere between worthless and interesting.
Mm-hmm.
They basically tie sellers up for months and months and months with no commitment. I like to say, as a sales guy and a sales coach, I like to think I'm a top sales professional, nothing's sold till money's exchanged.
Absolutely.
So when we entice that offer, we also want to get refundable earnest money, typically 5% or so of the sales price. And I won't move forward. You've seen me take people out of consideration if they want. It's just part of our process. Before they go into that due diligence in 30, 60, 90 days, I mean, they're giving our seller a little bit of a financial proctal exam if you think about it.
Absolutely. I think it's a good litmus test, too. I think a real serious buyer has no issues with earnest money.
Zero.
Zero.
Yet if someone won't put up $25,000, $50,000, $100,000 in refundable earnest money.
It's a red flag.
On a $3, $5 million deal. Isn't that a red flag?
Absolutely.
They're not a real buyer.
Nope.
It's refundable for any reason, stroke of their pen until close, right?
Yeah.
So if you won't do that, it is a real good litmus. That's a great point. It's a good litmus test.
Yes.
And I think because of that, our close rate from letter of intent and earnest money, refundable earnest money, to close is over 97%.
Absolutely.
Other firms, it's down there at 20, 30, 40%. The deals fall apart, and they just keep hammering the seller and the business broker or M&A advisor on how they need to sweeten the deal up. The other thing is you have to have a few different, at least two offers.
Yes.
Two horses bidding for this business. If you don't, again, they will wear that down. They'll try to sweeten the deal. It'll fall apart in the end. You have to have a competitive landscape. I think that's one of the greatest things that we do is we create that competitive landscape with two, three, four, like you said, up to six offers. We select the best generational fit, and now it's our job to negotiate the LOI. So let's talk about the points on a letter of intent with refundable earnest money. Assume that it's been signed by buyer and seller. Earnest money's down in the MDR and Associates escrow, or maybe it's a third party company we like that holds escrow, right? A title company or a lawyer's escrow here in town does that. Now, what are we looking for in the offer? Talk about some things as we drill down in the offer. One, obviously, is sales price.
Absolutely. I think once we get with the seller and we've secured at least two or three viable buyers, now we talk sales price, right? We talk sales price. We also talk the structure of the deal.
Structure is everything.
Yes.
Let me speak on that just for a second, because you're right. Price is not always paramount. Structure, for instance, how much cash is gonna be provided at close? If it's let's call it a $3.3 million offer, right? How much cash at close, right? I mean, Normally on a $3.3 million deal, if it's SBA, if it qualifies for SBA and the buyer qualifies, because the business has to qualify and the buyer has to qualify for SBA. If it does, it's 100% cash at close. Buyer puts down 10, 15, 20%. SBA funds it at the end. Our buyer gets 100% cash at close. But a lot of times, don't you think seller financing a little bit helps, helps on both fronts, buyer and seller? Talk about seller financing and how that's key in some deals and getting it done.
I think it's super important, especially in the market that we're in with SBA loans and the rates being so high. I think seller financing is a great way to get to a deal quicker, especially if it's beneficial not only for the seller, since if they're going to have seller financing, they're going to lower their tax on the amount of cash.
Well, they're going to delay the tax,
delay the tax
over
tax,
time.
Yeah.
They're not going to have to pay that big tax bill.
Yeah.
Seller financing allows you to get, as you get paid those payments over, let's say, four or 5 years, right?
Yeah.
That's when you get taxed on that money. So that's right. They can delay some of the tax, which is a big, big benefit.
Absolutely.
For the buyer, it kind of ties the seller in. After their transition, they're going to answer the phone if they're owed $500,000 on a seller note out of $3.3 million. So also, what about the interest rate for our seller? I mean, they're going to make more than $500,000 if it's a 7.7. We're seeing 6, 7, 7.5% interest rates right now. Where can you get that in the market?
Absolutely. So for the seller, you know, even though they feel sometimes, you know, they're kind of remaining in the business because of the seller note, that allows them actually to make more on the actual price
Absolutely.
Of the deal because
Absolutely.
Of the interest earned.
Might end up making $3.5, $3.6 million on that same transaction.
Absolutely.
And it's hard to get 7, 7.5% in the market right now. So, look, it's promissory notes in the state of Texas are a serious instrument. Normally, the lien is against the entire business. So on a $3.3 million deal, $500,000 in seller paper or promise or Texas promissory note, that's guaranteed. The business is guaranteeing that note. If the buyer doesn't pay, the seller gets the entire business back.
Absolutely.
Never happened. I've never seen that happen in the 15 years I've been doing it, but that's legitimate, right? There's
Absolutely.
A real lien on the business, not just an unsecured promissory note.
Absolutely.
On top of that, there's a note buying business. If our seller wanted to cash out 90 days after they close, there's an entire industry that'll pay 80, 85, sometimes 90% of the value of that note in a lump sum and take over the note. And sellers just don't know that. So
no.
I think negotiating the finer points of the deal are something that we excel at. Whether it's the cash down, we increase the cash down, we get a higher interest rate on a seller note, we get our seller out in a reasonable amount of time. Some deals they got to stay a year just because they are kind of they're a big part of the business. Other times they can leave in 30, 60, or 90 days. Just depends. Every deal is different. In our initial discovery meeting, we find out what our seller would like to do. And the main point I want to make here is we are telling buyers what the structure should be. We are controlling the structure of that deal. To a point, we're letting them know what works, what doesn't, what our seller prefers, what he or she does not prefer. And that's our job as a business intermediary and a firm to maximize each finer point of that LOI. And once we do that, we get that signed, we enter into that due diligence phase. And that's next week. We're going to have Jenny Swain back in the studio, our CFO. We're going to have Steve Clemens, our lawyer, our lead attorney that does all of our transactions for our sellers. He's going to be in the studio going over the finer points of dotting the I's and crossing the T's. I'm going to throw it back to you. What else can you think we need to talk about just the structure or structuring a deal? Talk about how we only go over offers in person and why that's so important.
Yeah, that's crucial. I think it just... like we did on our discovery meetings, like we do in our buyer-seller meetings, being in person to be able to see the seller react to the offer, I think is crucial for us because you want to see their immediate reaction. You can't really get that over email.
You can't
get it over Zoom.
Nope. Easy to say no over email. Easier to say no over text.
Yes.
Phone calls, very easy to say no. Sometimes Zoom, very easy.
Mm-hmm.
Our policy at our firm is it's a big moment. You sell your business sometimes once in a lifetime.
Yep.
We want to go over that, every element of that offer, gauge their reaction, but also listen to what's important to them.
Absolutely.
We need to intently listen to, you know, because maybe they'll remind us, listen, I didn't want to do more than 10% seller financing. I told you that in the discovery meeting, so we really need to take this buyer from 30% seller financing down to 10. And
Absolutely.
Respect it. Honor it. Honor their wishes, desires, goals, and objectives.
Absolutely. I think it's a good moment for us if the seller is wanting to counter the offer that we can discuss that with them in person and come to the perfect counteroffer if necessary.
Yeah, and that's interesting you mentioned that. A lot of M&A firms play that ping pong tennis match thing that real estate, send it over email back and forth. That's where deals die.
Yeah.
You get, if you're ever in a sticky situation at MDR Associates, what we do is what? We get the buyer and the seller to get back face to face. And isn't it amazing how palatable they become when they just share their heart of what will work and what won't work as far as the offer is concerned?
Absolutely. I think where the magic happens in the buyer-seller meeting, when we get buyers and seller together on a final price, the same thing happens.
Yeah.
They kind of, in the same room, are able to come to the agreement that works on both sides.
It's crazy, right? It's a simple strategy. Put the buyer and seller back
in
the room.
Yep.
right? Our job is to really be that intermediary, that buffer in the middle, taking the bad news from the sell side and the bad news from the buy side and letting them come back together. And maybe one flexes one way. And I've seen this a million times. Seller flexes on something. The buyer goes, I tell you what I'll do. Okay, that's no problem. Why don't we do this? And a lot of times, all we're there, we're watching another magical session happen.
Absolutely.
As we're renegotiating the finer points of the deal. It's unbelievable. I love what we get to do every day, defending North Texas business owner, Texas business owners, when they go to sell their service business, their manufacturing business, their distribution business. I get fired up about it because it's a once in a lifetime event.
It's an exciting moment for all parties.
It is. It is. And then, of course, our last chapter, we talk about where they are now, and we'll get to that in a couple of weeks. But I really appreciate the time you're spending in the studio today talking to business owners about what really happens in the middle of these deals. They're tense. They're like roller coasters. They die what? Once, twice, three, four, five times.
Absolutely.
And we have to be that buffer in the middle, bringing the bad news and the good news and just kind of massaging the deal so that it makes sense, so that it's a win, win, win. We're a Christian firm. That just means we're high integrity, high transparency, high confidentiality at all times. It was amazing this week in the studio at WBAP, Jenny and I were laughing about just all of the incredible moments and the fun moments. A lot of our clients have become dear friends of the firm, lifelong friends. It's just amazing. Well, that about wraps it up for this week. Next week, we're going to go over the next two chapters of the book. So stay with us, folks, because the next two chapters are going to be exciting. We've got chapter 11, due diligence, navigating the landmines. Jenny will be talking a lot about what goes on in due diligence, how she takes a lot of pressure off our sellers and really delves into the financials and goes head to head with the buyer and buyer groups so that our sellers don't have to. And then chapter 12, lawyers, deal makers versus deal breakers. Steve Clemens is absolutely incredible. He'll be in studio. So will Jenny. So until next week, folks, if you're out there and you're thinking about selling, think about MDR and Associates. We're going to put up a message here and just show you how you can contact us. But we really appreciate your time in the studio today with us. And until next week, be blessed. Hey, thanks for tuning in. You can find this podcast on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, or Facebook. We're on the radio every Sunday, 12 to 1 p.m. That's Sundays, 12 to 1 p.m. on Dallas-Fort Worth's number one news talk radio station, WBAP, on AM 820 and now FM 93.3. Until next week, I'm Michael Rubin as your host. Be blessed.
To book a discovery meeting with Michael and receive a complimentary opinion of value, you can visit us on the web at sellmycompanynow.com. That's sellmycompanynow.com or call us at 855-637-2020. That's 855-637-2020. Sell your company for maximum value.